So we thank you, Lord, that you're good. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to Psalm 37. That's right in the middle of your Bible. And we are going to be focusing on verse 4 to begin with. Does anyone not have a Bible that needs one? We have extras in here. Anybody need a Bible? Tonight we're going to try to talk about God's will. And how can we know God's will? How can we follow God's will? When I say God's will, what kind of thoughts come to mind? What do you think of when I say that?
Destiny.
Destiny, okay. Destiny, what else?
His plan.
What?
His plan.
His plan, okay.
God's word.
God's word. Direction. Direction, I like that. Direction.
Sovereignty.
Sovereignty, okay. That's something I want to talk about. I never know how to spell this, so if it's wrong, I'm sorry. Is that right? Is it E before I right there? Does it follow the rule or not?
Who cares?
All right, so this is supposed to say sovereignty. We're going to come back to that. Any other things people think of in here when we say God's will?
Purpose?
What did you say?
Die to self.
Die to self, okay. And someone said purpose. Any other ones?
Obedience,
okay.
I was thinking man's free will to choose.
Man's free will to choose, okay. So, what I'm trying to, part of tonight, I want to try to, there's a common set of questions that I get very frequently when we talk about healing and casting out demons and a whole bunch of other subjects. And a lot of it comes back to understanding what God's will means and understanding what sovereignty means. Now, if you look up the dictionary definition of sovereignty, not the religious tradition definition, but in the dictionary, if America is a sovereign nation, right? Or we're supposed to be. What does it mean when I say America is a sovereign nation? What does that mean?
We rule ourselves.
We rule ourselves. Nobody can tell us what to do. Right? No one can boss us around.
We belong to ourselves.
We belong to ourselves. We don't need to ask for permission as a nation if we want to do something. That's what sovereign means. Sovereign does not mean controls every detail. That is not what sovereign means. And understanding the difference there can solve a lot of problems we have in our head. America is sovereign, so if we think of a kingdom, a king is sovereign over his kingdom. If we think of ancient Israel and Solomon as sovereign, he doesn't have to get permission from anybody, but he doesn't control everybody's life. He makes choices on how things are going to be in his kingdom, and the subjects get to choose to participate or not. That's what I'm talking about, the definition of sovereign. So a king that is sovereign gets to make decrees and say, this is how things are going to work. This is how things are going to be. But the word I'm talking about, the definition of sovereignty, does not mean controlling other people. Forcing people to do things that they don't want to do. So I believe that God our Father is absolutely sovereign. He never has to get permission from anybody. He's the boss. He's the top of the food chain. He's the top guy in the company. He's the king of the kingdom. No one tells him what to do. And if he says something, no one can argue. Does everybody agree with that? And so as king of his kingdom, he has made statements that let us know what his will is. And I want to pick one, okay? Jesus says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Would everyone agree that that is God's will? Is that God's will? That we love our neighbor as we love ourselves? Because our king of our kingdom has made that clear to us. But does that mean that everybody loves their neighbor as they love themselves? Does every human being love their neighbor as they love themselves? Does anybody love their neighbor as that's a better question. So God's will is that we love our neighbor as we love ourselves, but people don't do it. And so every time someone doesn't do that, God's will does not happen in that situation. Sometimes God's will does not happen unless a human being chooses to cooperate and participate. Here's another one. In Ephesians 5, it tells us, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Would we agree that that is God's will? Is that how God wants it, things to go? Does that always happen?
Yes.
Good job, brother. Yeah. What about wives submit to your husbands? Does that always happen? But is that God's will? So if we see a man that not loving his wife as Christ loved the church, can we say, well, I guess it's not God's will for him to love his wife as Christ loved the church? Why not? Why can't we say that? The Bible says against that. So we can't automatically look at what's happening around us and say, I guess it's God's will. You can't do that. If what's happening around you contradicts the Bible, the expressed will of God, then we know it's not God's will. God's will does not mean forcing you to do things. It means what He wants to happen. This can be very upsetting for people when they first start thinking about this. But I will tell you that if you chew on it for a while, it makes you realize God actually is good. And He's not the one causing problems in my life. And we can't blame everything on God just because it happened. Like we said a minute ago, He told the Israelites to take that land. He wanted, that was His will. And they chose not to do it. He told Adam and Eve, do not eat from that tree. He didn't want them to eat it. That's why He said it. He's not a liar. First Timothy 2:4 says that God desires all men to be saved. God's will is that every human being is saved. God desires all men to be saved. But are all men saved? No. But if someone doesn't get saved, that means God's will didn't happen because God wanted them to be saved. 2 Peter 3:9 says, God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a knowledge of the truth. God wants everyone to come to a knowledge of the truth before they perish. Are there people that perish before coming to a knowledge of the truth? Yes, even though it's very clear that is not what God wants to happen. There are some parts of God's will, God's plan, God's purpose that are going to happen no matter what. There are some parts of God's plan, God's purpose that are going to happen no matter what, no matter what anybody does. Jesus is coming back someday. That is going to happen, and there is nothing anybody can do to stop that. So some parts of God's will are going to happen, period. But some parts of God's will only happen when a human being chooses to cooperate and do his will, do what he said. And because of a doctrine that came in the church 1700 years ago, something like that, basically saying that God controls everything and everything that happens is because God made it happen. And that got into the church, and then you start having doctrines that built up around that. Well, God, this happened, then that was awful, but I guess it was God's will. So that must be part of how his character. But that's not how the Bible teaches it. God desires all men to be saved. We're going to come back to Psalm 37:4, but I want to look at one verse that really illustrates this, even better than the ones I've already quoted. And this is Luke 7, verse 30, I believe. Yes. Luke 7, verse 30. While you're turning there, the context is John the Baptist has been put in prison, and some of his followers have come to Jesus. And then Jesus said some things to them, and they left. And Jesus is talking about how honored John the Baptist is to the people that are in front of him. He says that among men born of women, there's no one greater than John the Baptist. And then there's a commentary after Jesus finishes talking. It says in verse 30, "But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by John." God's will was that the Pharisees come to the truth and get baptized by John. But the Pharisees rejected the will of God. God's will can be rejected. This is some heavy stuff here tonight. Once you get over this idea that God does not force everybody to do everything, which doesn't make any sense anyway. If that's true, then it's God's will for me to be saying this right now. To be telling you that that's not true. Right? If God's will always happens, then it's His will for me to be saying this to you right now that doesn't always happen. If God's will always happens, then He's responsible for all the sin. Right? If everything that happens is God's will and sin happens, then it must be His will, right? But that doesn't make any sense.
How about the permissive will and perfect will? You have God's perfect will. Mm-hmm. But his permissive will is giving man a choice.
Giving man a choice. Free will.
So at the end of the day, God's will is always being established. Because he wills that you have a will.
So that goes back. So let's come back to sovereignty. God is sovereign. No one can tell him what to do, and he can choose how things are going to be. And if he decided he wants to make everybody robots, and they always do everything right, and always everything that happens exactly how he wants it to happen, then he could have done that, and no one can argue with that. Right? Who are we to talk back if he said that's how it's going to be? But if he chose in his sovereignty to make beings that have a way to make choices, choices to cooperate with him or choices to reject him, who can argue with him if he chooses to do it that way? It's his choice. He gets to make the rules. And he, in creating free moral agents, do y'all know what that means? Will somebody say what that means? Free moral agents is us. Beings that are able to choose right or wrong, good or bad, yellow or blue. In choosing to do that, in choosing to create us that way, which was his will to do so, he intentionally, by his own sovereignty, limited his own control. And that was his choice to make. This is the deep end of the pool right here. I see a lot of people looking at me like I have two heads.
Can you say that last sentence again?
If God wants to make a bunch of robots, right, then he can. Right. Or if he wants to make beings that can make choices, right, he can do that also. If he chooses to make creatures that can choose, then he is intentionally, on purpose, limiting his control over them. Yes. And that's his prerogative. Yes.
Isn't that kind of what happened with the devil then? That he chose to rebel?
And yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She said, isn't that what happened with the devil? Didn't he choose to rebel? Yes.
Neil, since
now,
we're in the deep end of the pool.
Yeah. Now, before you say this, I there are hundreds and hundreds of questions you can ask me right now that I don't know the answer to because I want the answer to them myself.
Okay. Since we're at the deep end of the pool, I found something at the bottom of it. I don't know what it is.
Should I be scared right now?
No.
Okay.
You should have been scared when I walked in.
All right. Okay.
Paul wrote to the followers that he had intended to go into Asia Minor, but Satan hindered him.
Yes.
So it was God's will for every man to be saved, and I'm not being a devil's advocate here, really. I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to bring this thing to light. What happened? Did Paul drop the ball? Or what happened there?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I don't either. I've been wrestling with that thing.
Because he says that, I think there's two places where he says something similar. We wanted to come to you, but Satan hindered us.
Yeah, exactly.
So, in my life, this is Neil. This is how I reconcile things like that. If I know God wants me to do something, and I go for it, and it doesn't work out the way I thought it should, then I don't get mad at God that his will isn't good. I come back to God. I look at him like a coach.
Right.
I mean, he's my God, and I worship him, and he's my king. But I relate to him like a coach and a guy on the team sometimes. And I'll come back, and I know that the coach wants us to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll come back and say, can you show me what I'm missing?
Yeah.
Where did I miss it this time? Where is my thinking wrong?
And there's a great bunch of leaders in Scripture that simply dropped the ball.
Yes.
I mean, it could have been he simply dropped the ball. I mean, he was a human being.
Absolutely.
He was very powerful.
Yes.
In the Gospels. But in the epistles, but maybe he dropped the ball. He said there was also a thorn in his flesh that couldn't be healed or gotten rid of. I don't know. Those two things always, especially to such an important man, we're talking about sovereignty and the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
It was the will of God for everybody in Asia Minor to be saved.
Yes.
We know that.
Yes.
But Paul said we couldn't come to you because Satan hindered us. I'm like, wow, mm-hmm. What happened there?
Right. There are things that God wants to happen, and he will tell somebody, and then the devil will come and tell them not to or try to intimidate them, and then they don't do it. And therefore, God's will didn't happen the way that he told that person to do it.
Right. Elisha fell into that trap after the Mount Carmel. I mean, he just
right.
was exhausted.
Mm-hmm. And he ran away from Jezebel.
Yeah.
He right. So when you start thinking about this, I guarantee you, if you've read the Bible on time, story after story is going to pop into your head. Yes.
Doesn't it always say that God's will be, like what God wants for you will always happen?
Well, we can't always say that. Because human beings have a right to reject what he wants.
And Jesus told us to pray that God's will would be.
Right. So that's a great one. The Lord's Prayer, if he says, pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, then you know his will is not being done on earth as it is in heaven. If he's telling you to pray that. That prayer doesn't make any sense if you believe that this means he controls every detail.
Correct.
Yeah, the great, great one. Right, what's the point of that? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And the Lord said, I have seen how stubborn and rebellious these people are. Now leave me alone so my fierce anger can blaze against them and I will destroy them. Then I will make you, Moses, into a great nation. Okay? So God's will is that the Israelites go into the promised land. But then God is saying here, I'm going to destroy them and send you and your descendants and Moses. So Moses prays to the Lord, and at the end of that prayer, it says, so the Lord changed his mind about the terrible disaster he had threatened to bring on his people. So Moses saw the will of God and prayed into it, and God changed his mind.
That's some heavy, that's the deep end of the pool right there.
Yeah.
So it becomes very important to us that we learn about what God's will is. Learn about, and his will goes along with his character and his nature. Chris.
So two things, and you might get to this anyways, but the first thing is to realize that if we're talking about God's will and our part in God's will, one thing you need to understand is that you can't fail God personally. Okay? In other words, if God's will wants to be done in someone's life, and he wants this thing done in someone's life, it will be done. Okay? He might try to use you as part of that equation, and you may take yourself out of the equation, but God will find someone else to do it. I've actually had situations occur in my life when God said, go do this or go do that. And either because of a lack of faith or there were a couple things that happened that were very difficult for me to do. They weren't good things. God said, go deal with this person and some sin that's in their life. And I was like, I can't do that. And anyways, I won't go into all of that, but I thought for a long time in some of those situations that I had failed God. Bad things happened to those people. And I thought it was because I didn't do what I was supposed to do. But what I found out later on in those situations is that even though I didn't do what I was supposed to do, God sent others that did do what God wanted to do. And the people or the situations didn't resolve themselves and didn't bend their will to the will of God, and then they had to deal with the consequences.
Yep.
So understand that you can't fail God because God will make a way. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's number one. You don't carry that.
Right.
Okay? The other thing is to understand you said about God's will being done in your life. What's important to understand in that is that you can say that, but you have to understand that you have a part in that equation. And if you don't fulfill your part in your own life, okay, I told you bad things happen to these people is because they didn't change their ways and they didn't bend God's will.
Like God warned somebody, you need to cut this out, because if you keep acting like that, you're going to bring some, you're going to find yourself in a situation you don't want to be in.
I can say in one case, a minister lost his ministry. Okay? Because he didn't listen and didn't change. And it was very bad. And so you have to understand, as an individual, and God's will in your life, you have a piece in that. And in that, you are responsible. You have to listen. You have to obey. You know, kind of going back to the old Adam and Eve and mm-hmm. a lot of these other things you talked about.
Mm-hmm.
God said, don't do this, or God said, do this, or God gave them a choice and even told them what the right answer was, and they didn't think.
You're right.
So God's will be done in your life as long as you do your part.
Like you choose to cooperate.
Right.
Yep. So I'm sorry this is so heavy, but this is just what we're talking about. Let's go to Psalm 37:4 now. Another example of this while you're turning there. So my wife got healed from, this is my lovely wife Teresa, and she got healed from fibromyalgia August 25th of 2006, and I got baptized with the Holy Spirit while she was getting healed. And then I started learning about healing, and I started doing that stuff I wrote on the board. And I found out what God's will was with healing, and I started going out and trying to enforce His will, trying to bring His will to pass. And guess what? I started seeing people get healed. I was 38 years old when she was healed. I had been a Christian since I was a child. I had never seen anyone get healed. Now I'm seeing people get healed every week. Did God's will in healing change in the last couple years? No, I found out some information I wasn't aware of. That's what I changed. God's will didn't change. You can say this about your own life, I'm sure, in various areas. You find out some information about God and His will and what's available, and you start acting on it, guess what? You get the benefits of that. But that doesn't mean He just started doing that right then. All right, Psalm 37:4. Can someone read that? Delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Okay. There's a traditional way of looking at this, which is true, but there's another way of looking at this, which I find very fascinating. Delight in the Lord, and we think of it as I'm desiring something, and then so I go delight in the Lord, and He's going to give me what I had been desiring. Right? But I don't read this that way. I read it like this. I spend time delighting in the Lord, and He puts desires in my heart. And I find myself wanting to do things I didn't want to do before. Or I find myself wanting to avoid things that I used to enjoy. Not by trying hard, but because He gave me the desires of my heart. He put desires inside of me. That is awesome. Delight in the Lord, and He will change your heart, and you will start to want things that line up with His will that are good for you anyway. See, we don't know what we want. We think we do, but we don't know. God knows what we're made for. As we find out what that is and start doing that, it is awesome. See, I used to be afraid in church of finding out what God's will was for me, because I thought it involved living in some hut eating grasshoppers. And I didn't want that. I want to play my Atari. I want to play Pitfall. I don't want that. So I was afraid to find out what his will was. Never knowing the whole time that his will for me is what I'm made for and I'm going to love it. I just didn't know. And you don't have to know what his will is for your life. But if you will take time to delight in the Lord, you're going to find yourself having desires to do things that line up with his kingdom. That is awesome. I mean, that is just, it's so simple. Now, when I say delight in the Lord, what kind of things come to mind?
Praise.
Praise, okay, praise. What does praise mean to you? What does that mean? Thankfulness, gratefulness in your heart towards him. Okay. What about you? You said praise. What comes to mind when you think of praise?
Worship.
Worship. Okay. So like singing songs to the Lord. Good.
I saw that happen to me. Delighting in the Lord to converge on what everybody's saying here. Mm-hmm. That was one of the things that inadvertently later on led me to Christ. Was I knew this fella. When I was young, I would curse him and I would try to make his life miserable. And he would always smile and go, "Well, praise the Lord." And I'm like, "Man, something wrong with you." So somebody totaled his car sitting out in the street. I mean, his wife was in the wheelchair. He didn't have much money. But his idea was, I mean, somebody totaled his only car. And he goes, "Well, praise the Lord, no one was hurt." I'm like, "Dude, I would have burnt this town to the ground if somebody had hit my car like that and not stopped or anything." But he delighted himself in the Lord. And because of that, some years later, when the Lord was pecking on my heart to invite him in, that's what I remember, because how that man delighted himself in the Lord. And it was a testimony that led to my salvation.
There you go. And I believe it's supposed to be simple like that.
Yep.
It should be, 5-year-olds should be able to do this stuff. You shouldn't have to fill out a bunch of paperwork and read all these manuals.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Laura.
I was just going to say one of the easy ways. You said you like more, I like scents and smells and lotions. And so I was using this new lotion. This is so cool, God. I was like, you thought of everything. But just the colors. And I'm like, wow, God, you're awesome. So I feel like through the day, I'm always like, Lord, you are really cool. You know, just different ways, Lord, you are awesome. How you put all that together, things, how they fit, and they come together, all the different things. And I think it's just an ongoing conversation.
Yeah.
It's a form of worship.
So, happiness. Okay. I want to say that as I'm asking this, there's not a right and wrong way or a formula, but it's fun to hear how different people delight in the Lord, because you can think, man, I never thought of that. So does anybody, that's great. Just thinking about, like my dad loved the Lord, and he could just sit there and watch his chickens and just say, "God, how did you make those chickens? That is just amazing." And he just could do that. He could do that all day long. And he was delighting in the Lord watching those chickens. So, go ahead. No, you're up. Just speak up though, because there's... That's cool.
It's just so cool to look up and see what he's done.
That is cool. You had one, yes.
Yeah. So a way that I delight in the Lord is I listen for him to speak.
Listen for him to speak, okay.
Because I don't want it just to be a monologue, me speaking to him.
Okay.
Dialogue.
Okay. Yep.
That's good.
Did everybody hear what he said? Like during your quiet time or prayer time with the Lord? He said it, it he likes to not have it be a monologue where he's telling God everything. And it's like you called somebody and you say, blah, 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 blah. Okay, see you later. And you hang up. Like it's not a conversation. Like you give some space in there for him to say something back. That's a way of delighting in the Lord. Spending time with him. Just enjoying his company. So I was reading, go to Acts 13 because I want you to see this phrase. And I'm going to tell you a cool story along these lines. So how many know that you can read the Bible over and over and you can read the same passage 500 times and get something new every time? Right? Because this thing is supernatural. The Bible is supernatural. It's not a normal book. So I'm reading one day and I get to Acts 13. And it says, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. And it lists some guys. And then it says, let me say them. There were certain prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, who had brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Saul is the guy who turns into the Apostle Paul. So this is who he is. And it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then, having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them away. And then, from this point on in the book of Acts, Paul is referred to as the Apostle Paul. He received his apostleship here. He's never called Apostle Paul before this. But after this, he is one of the apostles. And he received this commission or this awareness of his identity during a time of ministering to the Lord. That is delighting in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of that's what's going on there. And so as I read this, I thought, wait a minute, that doesn't say ministering for the Lord, that says ministering to the Lord. Ministering for the Lord is ministering to other people on the Lord's behalf. But ministering to the Lord means you've turned around from everybody else and your attention is on Him. And I didn't know what that meant. I'm telling you this to show you that you don't have to know what you're doing. Okay? So let me just get that straight from the outset. So I started saying, Lord, what is ministry to the Lord? What does that mean? And so I didn't know, so I said, I'm just going to make some stuff up and start doing it. So one night I would get my guitar and I would pretend like he's sitting there and I would play my guitar for him like I would play for my dad or something. I would just play it for him. Saying, I hope you enjoy this, you know. I mean, just that's what I'm thinking, like he's really here. Sometimes I would think of that verse that says, be still and know that he is God. So I would just lay on the floor and just be still. I don't know. I'm just doing this. Sometimes I would find in Psalms, I know that David really worshiped the Lord. So I would find Psalms that talked about really cool stuff about how God is all powerful and all this kind of stuff. And I would just read it to him. Say, Lord, look what this says about you. You're awesome. Sometimes I would sing. Sometimes I would just kind of listen to music and let it make me think thoughts about God, whatever. Again, I'm just going to go for it. So I started doing that on like a Monday. And then that Friday, I'm having lunch with a friend. And we sit down to lunch. And this guy, Dexter, he's been a minister for a long time. Mentored me in a lot of ways. And I said, hey, man, have you ever heard of ministering to the Lord? You ever thought about that? He said, oh, yeah. I said, What is that? He said, well, I'm not going to give you a formula, but I'm going to tell you some things it might involve. You could play a musical instrument for him. You could lay down and be still before him. You could read Psalms to him. He said everything I had been doing all week. I mean, everything. I didn't know what I was doing, and it didn't matter. My heart was to delight in the Lord. So whatever that means to you, go do it. That's why I'm telling you this story. There's not a right way and the wrong way. If your heart is to bless your father, Father, I have nothing to give you, but I'm just going to do this. If you like, I'm going to draw a picture for you. Whatever. But delighting in the Lord is one of the ways that you're going to find out what you're made for, because He's going to put desires in your heart. Isn't that awesome? I mean, is anybody liking this right here?
Yes. Did that older man tell you anything else? That story about?
I don't even remember because I was so amazed at that. I don't even remember.
Okay.
Yeah.
Point.
Yeah.
Thank you. Holy Ghost is speaking to Barnabas and Saul.
Mm-hmm.
They had the will of God, the voice of God, validated by the Bible,
mm-hmm.
which is important,
mm-hmm.
finding the will of God. I think that's the theme of the class tonight.
But yes, it is.
So we just don't want to run off. God spoke to me. I'm heading out of here to see mm-hmm. you guys later. He said, no, 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 hey, I want you guys to pray with me about this. Because
mm-hmm.
if I see it, nobody else sees it.
Good point. It's good to have people around you that you can bounce things off of. People that believe the way you do. That you can go and talk to. I feel like the Lord's telling me to do this. How do you feel about that? And get them to pray with you. Especially if it involves you making radical changes to your living situation or something like that. Now, we have benefits that the Apostle Paul and them did not have. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, all the way through Revelation. We have a Bible we can carry in our pocket, look at it on our phone. Right? Listen to. If they wanted to read the Old Testament, they had to have a trunk full of scrolls pulled around by a donkey. I mean, if you think about the logistics of it. Or they just memorized. A lot of them did because you couldn't carry it around. But what I'm saying is, we can read in there and see how God related to people and get an idea of what's He like? What kind of things does He tell people to do? How does He treat people? Yes.
For the benefit of the people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think as God changes our heart, as we delight more and more in Him, He changes our heart. A lot of the things that we will hear are aligned with that.
Yes.
Very mm-hmm. thing is to, like you were saying at the very beginning of class, feel the sick, proclaim
yes.
the gospel, you know, free the captive.
Mm-hmm.
It's all always aligned with this. With this will for humanity.
Yes.
So I think many times people look for the will of God in a very almost selfish way, but it's always a good test to say, if this comes to me, it might be something that we decided personally, but how is that aligned with His kingdom and His word?
Does everybody hear that? So I'm going to try to restate that, and if I don't say it right, feel free to correct me. So one of the ways to test God's will is that, is it going to have a positive effect of God on other people according to God's kingdom, according to God's will towards humanity? Like, God would not send you to harm humanity, for example. Like to rob people. We would know that's not God's will. I'm trying to be silly, but yes.
Can desires of your heart be purposed?
Can desires of your heart be purpose? Yes, I believe so. But can you expand on what you mean by that? Right.
So seek him, he will give you the desires of the heart. Doesn't necessarily mean it's a purpose.
That doesn't mean that every... So I'm not sure if I understand your question, so I'm going to say this, and then if it's not right, you tell me.
Yeah.
Not every desire I have in my heart is always from God. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
But God can give you desires for things that are going to benefit you personally. That is true. He can do that. Because he's good. And he cares about all of us. Like he may want you to have a time of rest. So he may tell you, as you're delighting in him, you can take a step back from these things you're involved in right now. Because I need you to rest. You need to rest. He may do that. That can... A vacation. He may want you to have a vacation. He gave us one. Great. Yes. So, we're watching. So this is while Teresa was sick with fibromyalgia. We're watching this sermon on TV, and after the sermon, the guy in the sermon saying, "You need to believe what God's telling you, no matter how big it is," something like that. And we had been praying for some way to take a vacation, but it was just so complicated with the health condition, and we didn't have the money. And Teresa spoke up at the end of that thing. She said, I believe we're going to see the world or something like that. And I'm like,
I just put this thought in my heart. And I spoke it out.
So she was still working for an ad agency at the time. And 2 weeks after this, we go to a wedding. And her boss comes up to her at the wedding and says, "Would you like to go to Hawaii for free for a week? Maui." Maui. And she said, she came to me and said, what should we do? I said, we're going to go. So her agency had won some thing from a TV station that would send someone and their spouse on an all expenses paid to a snazzy resort in Maui. And the owner of the company didn't go. And her boss didn't go, and the sales rep didn't go, so it fell down to her. And we went. So they paid airfare, we stayed, and we praised the Lord the whole time. And we still do. We keep pictures of that all over our house to remind us of the goodness of God. How he took care of us. So, yeah, that's a great one. Okay, so I want to talk about another way that can help us determine God's will.
I was going to say,
go ahead. Yeah.
Neil was actually sometimes in the beginning felt a little bit guilty for something good.
Yeah.
Coming
along. Yeah.
And I think sometimes we limit God and we think, well, I just need a little bit. Can you just give me a little bit, God? You know? And I'm like, no, pour it out. I want all your blessings.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, Neil, don't feel bad. Don't feel guilty. Just say, God, everything you want to give me. You know? And just, I don't know why that was hard.
I know why, yeah.
But it's, I just want to put hope in all of your hearts tonight. Like, he wants to do exceedingly, abundantly above what you are asking. You know, and it's like, it's so, he's a good God. And like, our wildest dreams, you know, we could have never dreamed something so awesome. And right after that happened, I was in a wheelchair then, and right after the trip, I lost even my arms. And so I was in a very terrible place. I was laying in the MRI machine in pain. And I closed my eyes and I could see Maui. I could just see, like, the blessings from that trip was still envisioned in my mind. And so it's just like, God is amazing. He's so amazing. And, you know, I pray you all get to go to Maui. Like, you know, praise the Lord.
Amen. So just one thing about what she was saying, for anyone else that may struggle with this idea. The religious tradition I grew up in pictured God, it was sinners in the hands of an angry God, was the mentality.
Was what?
Sinners in the hands of an angry God. That's a famous sermon, which presents God as angry, and we have to grovel, and if we grovel enough, he'll let us in, but he's still kind of mad. Okay, and that was my... And so, to me, asking God for anything that would benefit me personally was offensive. Okay? Because that's selfish, and selfishness is terrible. And so that was a wrong view I had of God, and it took me a long time to get over that. And if I'm not careful, that still tries to get up in there sometimes. And so I had to change my mindset, especially when I started learning kingdom. That a king gets glory by how awesome his people are doing, not by how much they get beat up all the time. Like when you come to a kingdom and you see even the janitor is driving a Rolls Royce, you're like, this is an awesome kingdom. This king knows what he's doing. He's running this ship the right way. I'm not trying to be materialistic here, but I had to change my mindset that God actually wants to be nice to me. He, like any parent, like there's part of a parent that just loves to give something cool to their kids just to see them be happy. Well, we are made in his image, and that's part of how he is.
If he's such an awesome father, why shouldn't we be spoiled brats?
Yeah.
We should welcome every good thing he wants to give us and not feel guilty about it. Yes, sir.
Jesus faced the temptations of the devil in the wilderness.
Yeah.
And the devil tempted him at one point to cast himself down, for it was written, the angels shall bear thee up.
Yeah.
Lest you dash your foot against the stone. Mm-hmm. But what the devil did, he misquoted Psalms 91, where it says, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. He forgot that part, which, you know, he's classic, the misquoted word.
Mm-hmm.
He did that to Adam and Eve, predominantly, in the garden, thou shalt not surely die. So finding the will of God is we got to make sure we hold the word of God in close context,
mm-hmm.
lest we cast ourselves down and invoke the scripture context.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God's going to bear me up. I'm not going to dash my foot against the stone. Well, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart, because your ways will be his ways.
Mm-hmm.
And then the angels will bear you up, and you will be blessed, because you're walking in harmony with his appropriate will. Does that make sense to you?
Yes. So, just to paraphrase, one of the best ways to know God's will is to find out what it says in the Bible. And that way you don't have to, and find it in the right context. Read. So if you're not used to looking at context, here's a rule of thumb. Whatever verse you're reading, to make sure you're not brinkling out of context, start 7 verses before and read down to the verse and read 7 after. That's just a simple rule. You don't have to do that, but that can help you. Just read some of the passage around it to make sure that you're not pulling something out, making it say something it didn't. That's just a way to help yourself not get in the ditch. So knowing what the Bible says about you, how God feels about you, can go a long way towards helping you know what God's will is. That also goes a long way towards helping you recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit when he's talking to you, because the Holy Spirit is not going to contradict the Bible because he wrote it. And so if he's telling you something, if you're hearing something that contradicts the Bible, then you can say, you know what, I don't think that's from God.
I think it helps too, Neil, is when you're reading the Bible, to find out who is God talking to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Talking to the Jews?
Mm-hmm.
Even the Sabbath?
Good point.
Some churches, man, they're dogmatic about worshiping on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But that was for the Jews.
Right. Yep.
Is he speaking to the Gentiles?
Yep.
Is he speaking to the church?
All right.
Who's God talking to?
Mm-hmm. Good point. Now, if you don't know all these things right away, God will teach you as you go. So don't feel like you can't get started or anything like that. Just start reading it, because you have the teacher inside of you that wrote the book. And he'll show you what's important for you to know right now. Now, I want to give you another way of knowing God's will. And I'm going to give you the scripture that I base this off of. It's Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. I don't know if that's two P's. And can someone read that for me? I would like to get this in multiple translations because this helps. Philippians 2, 13.
For God is working in you, giving you the desires and the power to do what pleases Him.
That's a great translation. God is working in you. What does it say after that? Giving you the desire. The desire and the ability?
Power.
Some translations will say ability there. I like that word there, so I'm going to write that in here with it. God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power or the ability or the energy to do what pleases Him. Yes?
Something that stood out to me is that if He is giving us the ability or power to do it, it means we didn't have it.
Right.
Which is really cool.
Yes. Good point. Now, I'm going to talk about this in the context of a person who believes in Jesus, wants God's will in their life, wants to do the things that are God's will, wants to do things that are pleasing to God to please their Father. That's the mentality I'm talking about when I start talking about this. I'm not talking about someone who's looking for ways to take advantage of things and stuff like that. It tells us that God is putting in us a desire and an ability or a power or an energy to do something that's pleasing Him. If we switch this around, if there's something that I think I'm doing that pleases Him, but I don't have the desire or the energy or the power to do, that may not be the thing that pleases Him right now. Even though it's good. Yeah, I'm going to say this three or four different ways. So this tells us that if it's pleasing to God for me right now to be doing this, then I can expect there to be a desire and a power, ability, or energy to be, keep doing it. So that if I don't have the energy or the power or the ability or the desire to do it, no matter how good it is, that may not be the thing that pleases Him for me to be involved in right now. Okay? Yeah, this I need to say this several different ways. You can be doing something that is good and acceptable and all of that, and it's a chore for you, and that is not God's will for you right now. That's possible to find yourself in that situation. Someone else has told you it's good, or you think it's good for some reason, and so you are gritting your teeth through willpower, trying to keep this thing going, and God's been trying to get you into something else.
Or it may have been something that you were already doing, and at one point in time, God clearly said, go do this.
Yes.
And, you know, take care of it. You had the desire and the ability and all of it, but then at some point, it became a chore, it became difficult, it may have even caused problems.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'll give an example of this personally to help illustrate what I'm talking about. So I led one of the worship teams here at Hope Chapel for years. And it was during the time where Teresa was really sick. And so I was doing all the housework, all the groceries, all everything, plus taking care of Teresa, who couldn't even feed herself. And that took up all my time, and I would still have all this energy to make set lists, to stay on people, to keep practicing and be prepared and get us ready and go in and have everything ready. And I had energy for that because God had put it in me to do that. And I did that for a long time. And even on Sunday mornings, I would do the early service and I would get everything done. And as soon as the last song hit, I would jump off the stage and run to my car, drive home and get her and drive back to be ready for the second service. And I just had energy for that every time. It was a joy. I enjoyed it. Then she gets healed, and I'm still doing the worship team, and my life's getting easier every day as far as my responsibilities and time I have to spend doing things. But after a couple of months, leading the worship team starts turning into a chore where I'm not fired up about it. I love God at this time more than I ever have because my wife just got healed and I just got baptized with the Holy Spirit. So I'm not trying to be lazy and run away from God. The thing I thought I was supposed to be doing, I was starting to do it out of my own obligation rather than that of His giving me the desire and the ability and the energy to keep doing it. Now, during the time when I was doing it and He wanted me to be doing it, I had the energy, and that's what was pleasing for Him at that time, and that was His will for me at that time. But I found myself in a situation where I'm trying to keep something going where He's trying to move me on to something else. So if there's something you feel obligated to and you're seeking the Lord and praying about it, but you just don't have a desire or an energy or an ability to keep doing it, and it's like a chore, maybe that's not what pleases God right now. Just be open to that possibility. Or if God starts wanting you to do something different than you're doing right now, you're going to start having this desire and this energy about that new thing, and it'll be lessening about the old thing if it's supposed to replace it. If one of the ways I use to try to test whether it's God's will for me or not, whether it's God leading me, is if I'm not sure, I'll do all the things we've been talking about, delight in the Lord, pray, get counsel from other people. But one of the things I'll do is I'll wait. I'll just wait. And if that desire goes down over time, that helps me know that was just my emotional excitement about something new. But if that grows and grows and I can't stop thinking about it and it stays on me all the time, then I'm just going to make a choice to believe that He's given me the desire and the ability. I'm just going to go for it and see what happens. That's one way, that's a way to help you learn about God's will for what kind of things you should be involved in, what you should be doing. Now, just like it was when I was leading the worship team and my wife had fibromyalgia, I would fight through anything to make sure I got that stuff done because I loved it. And so now, God's will for me is teaching. And I will fight through anything to do that. And you can't stop me from doing it. I can't wait. I love it. Because He's given me the energy and the ability and the desire to keep up with everything that has to be kept up with to do the things I do. And so I know that I'm at least in the same neighborhood of His will for me. I'm aiming in the right direction. Maybe I'm not exactly on the path all the time. I'm saying this to help you as ways to learn about knowing God's will for your life. Yes.
So one of the questions that I've had myself, and I've heard a lot of people ask, is how do you know if a door closes? You can't always say, well, I guess it wasn't God's will.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's the enemy trying to keep you from something. So
yep.
That's the one I don't ever really know. Any tips?
So her question, let me repeat, and then I'm going to ask this to everyone in here. Sometimes a door closes to something that you think you're supposed to be doing. And sometimes we think that God closed the door. But sometimes the enemy can be trying to close the door to stop you. Like we talked about with Paul earlier. What are some ways we can think of to help us know whether it's God closing the door or whether the enemy's trying to put stumbling blocks in our way? Yes.
Seek God.
Seek God. Yeah, okay, very good. I don't know that there's one answer to this, but I would enjoy hearing what everybody has to say. Go ahead.
My experience has been that if a door closed and it wasn't God closing the door eventually opens again. Or there's a back door. There's another way. He presents another way.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I can testify to that. That I've had that happen. A door closed, but another one opened to the same destination. Go ahead. Very good. Very good. So it may be not the right time right now for it. Yes.
I will just say once again, just reiterate, you know, just totally seeking God, because I can tell you from experience when I was, you know, in the midst of making a decision to go to Africa, there's a lot going on. And, you know, I remember I was sitting in my car one morning, and and all this is going on, everybody's saying everything, and I thought, okay, well, let me just go on the CDC website. Let me just look and see what everything is. I kind of stay in the news of that kind of stuff. I don't want to hear what's going on in the world. It's not that I'm naive. I just don't want to know. So I was like pulling up the website, like pulling it up, and I felt God go, really? Really? You want to know what they want to say? And I just broke in that moment. I said, God, I want to know what you want me to do.
That's right.
And, you know, I got to hear from you. I got to hear what you want me to do. And I think when we cry out to God, we are His children.
Yes.
He wants us to know what He wants. And when we get down and we're like, God, you've got to show me. And I tell you, within like 2 weeks' time, it was so clear.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, He gave me a vision of just, you know, an angel right there with us. He gave me a word from, you know, another place. And I was like, okay, that's it. That's all I need. You know, so just totally see God, and He will show you.
Yes.
Dealing with what the Holy Spirit is trying to say through some of this is, if a door closes, don't allow yourself to be distressed. Don't get desperate. Don't get down.
That's awesome.
Don't allow that to happen, because if the door is closed and it's supposed to remain closed, it's because you're supposed to go someplace else. If the door closes because the enemy is trying to close the door, there will be another way.
Yeah.
It'll come back around. But don't distress. That's what the enemy wants, and that's what you're not to do.
I guess my question is, how do you know to keep pushing or just to let go? Because I don't want to just keep pushing on a door that's locked if it's not God's will for me to go through that door. And I think I use up a lot of time pushing doors that are supposed to be closed. Or I give up when I should keep pushing, because I'm like, well, I don't want to push outside of God's will. So
what if you don't push and just wait and see if the door opens again?
I'm more likely to not do anything that I need to do. So God usually tells me to do, and He'll let me know if I should stop. But,
just be confident, too. That goes a long way.
I'm on Facebook probably too much, but one of the things that always stuck in my mind, and it goes back to my grandmother. My father's dad died when he was 9 years old in 1947. He was the next to youngest of 11 kids. My grandmother died at 104. So she went from 1947 to about 2004 with, 11 kids. But my grandmother always said, God will provide, and He will not close the door without opening it up. But on Facebook, and I love my grandmother for that, because she's like, don't worry, He'll provide. I'll sow more stuff, and God will provide. He always did. But, and sometimes it was tragedy, but it was still, God will provide, always. But on Facebook, there's a great, I don't know if anybody else has seen it, but it says, while one door closes and you're waiting for another to open, praise God in the hallway. I love it.
That's great, man. That's very good. Very good. Yep. That's good. Very good.
Praise God in the
hallway. So,
I
talks about all these things we've been talking about.
Would you read them for us?
Sure.
Just speak really loud so everybody can hear you.
This is 3. It starts with 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Because we talked about his provision.
Mm-hmm.
Delight yourself in the Lord and he shall give you the desires of your heart. 5 says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him and he will bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the new day. 7. Rest in the Lord. We talked about resting.
Mm-hmm.
Patience. You know, he wants it for us. And wait patiently for him. Keep seeking him. Just wait. It says, do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm.
There you go. Yeah, man.
I would say one thing is get out of your head. And, you know, we walk by faith, right? And listen to your spirit. If you've done these things or you believe God really pointed you in a direction and a path, whether it's a career, whether it's a boy, whether it's a class, or whether it's this or that, trust, and you've got to be led by your spirit. And, you know, you're patient in the hallway that he's going to work that path out. But you walk by faith, but you've got to get out of your head, because we can always rationalize, well, this might have been this door, and this was the second time. I mean, you can think of, I'd say, worldly situations where people want to be a dancer or want to be a singer, and they have the gift, and the doors are shut constantly, but they never gave up, and eventually they succeeded. So that you have to know your spirit, that this is the path that you want. And, you know, you've got to keep pressing for that and keeping your eyes open for opportunities, but you're being diligent in the other things too. So you got to just listen to your spirit for you.
Yes, sir.
2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7, King James Version. This I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, but he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth cheerful giver. That is a great way to determine the will of God for your life. Am I giving cheerfully, or am I giving of necessity and grudgingly?
Okay, yeah, I see what you're saying.
So,
yeah, that goes with this really well.
You got an indicator right here in your heart. If I'm doing this wrong motive, wrong reasons, that is not the will of God. If I'm doing it cheerfully, like your example, you were doing it from your heart, you were loving it, and all of a sudden, you're like, I don't want to do this no more. God's like, that's fine. I love a cheerful gift. I don't want you going around ministering with a grudge and an attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And a necessity.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that really helps.
Yep.
People struggle with the will of God. God, should I be an electrician or a plumber? Please, God, tell me, what should I be? What do you want to be? You know, do you mm-hmm. want to be an electrician? Is that your passion? Is that your desire? Is that your gift, your talent, your ability? Or would you rather be a plumber? Or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Blank.
Yep.
Because that's the permissive will of God. But, you know, the will of God is wherever you are, you give people the reason or the hope that's in you. Whether you're a plumber, or electrician, or a nurse, or a preacher, you got a witness.
I think that verse also shows the character of God, that he cheerfully wants to give to us. He gives to us cheerfully. He's not going to slam a door in our face and say, ha-ha, you missed it. It was only open for
very good. And again, that will come back to knowing God's character, knowing what he's like. And you would say, I know he's not like that. I know he's not making fun of me. I know he's not trying to trip me and point his finger at me. So to summarize from tonight, the best I can right now. Some parts of God's will require us to cooperate. Some parts of it. God wants us to know His will. Some of the ways that we can know God's will are from reading the Bible and learning about our Father's character, learn how He feels about us, how He dealt with people. We can also have a relationship with God where we delight in the Lord and allow Him to put desires in our heart that are going to lead us. We can also trust in the fact that He does put desire and energy in us to do the things that please Him. And so if you're not sure, one thing you can do is wait and pay attention to that desire on that thing. And if you forget about it, then that wasn't God. But if you can't stop thinking about it, that probably is God's will. So those are some ways that you can learn God's will and cooperate and get to see His will come to pass in your life. That should be very exciting. It is to me. Yes.
One thing you teach on is how to know the will of the Father is
Jesus. Yes. I'm going to repeat what she just said, because I've been meaning to say this all night. There's been one human being with flesh and blood that walked the earth ever that always did God's will. And that's Jesus, who is God Himself. So we can look at Jesus and know what God is like. Because everything Jesus did was always God's will. There was never something He was doing that wasn't God's will. They were always in agreement. Okay? So, there's verses that say, like in John 14, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Colossians 1, about verse 14 or 15, says that Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. Hebrews 1:3 tells us that Jesus is the exact representation of God's nature and character. Depending on your translation. So if there's something that Jesus dealt with on the earth that applies to the situation you're in the covenant that we're in, you can take that to the bank. So this applies to things like healing and deliverance. Did Jesus heal everyone that came to Him? Or were there some people that came to Him and He told them, no, I'm not going to heal you? Which one? He always healed everyone that came to Him, without exception. So that very clearly tells us that if it's going the way God wants it to go, then people are always getting healed all the time. Or delivered. There was questions about that last week. How do we know if it's God's will that they get free from demons? Well, did Jesus ever say, you know what, you need to keep these demons for a while so that you can learn patience? Let me put you in oppression so that it'll make you closer to Me. No, that's not how He did. He never did anything like that. So those should be very obvious. We should know exactly what God's will is on subjects like that, where Jesus consistently did it the same way His whole life. So I'm going to close with that. Then I'm going to pray for us. If you need to go, you can. It's about 10 till 9. If you need prayer or ministry for anything, if you're willing to stay and pray, we're going to do that after I pray, okay? So, Lord, I trust that You brought out what You wanted to bring out, and anything that we missed, I pray You speak it to us on the way home or over the next few days. Lord, I pray that every seed that was sown from Your Word, every good seed, finds good soil in the hearts of the people in here. Because, Father, I know that when it finds good seed, You told us that it grows and produces fruit 30, 60, 100-fold. So we just want to believe for 100-fold. Every truth that You've brought to us tonight, we want to receive it and let it produce fruit. Let it produce fruit that's visible. I speak blessing over all Your sons and daughters. Lord, train us, teach us to hear Your voice. Train us and teach us to know Your character. Train us and teach us to learn how to discern Your will, Your plan. I thank You in advance that You're going to give us the desire and the ability to do the things that are pleasing to You. And Father, our desire is to please You. So we just bless You, Lord. We love You. We thank You for our relationship with You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so if you are willing to stay and pray, or if you need prayer, everybody, can I get you to stand up? We're going to break up into groups, 3 or 4 or 5, something like that. If you need to go, you can.